Graham, who led millions to the Lord, enter now into the joy of thy Lord. He doesn't say that. He says this, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Servant. The place appointed you of service, it might be, humanly speaking, less attractive, humanly speaking, than the place given another. But the meaninglessness, by appearance, or by human values, or by the world standards, of what your place of service is, say, has nothing to do with the fact that, says the Scripture, whatsoever you do, do it with all your heart as unto the Lord. For you know that you serve the Lord Christ. That is the key. And it is connected with how you were faithful to Him wherever He put you. Even if no one ever heard about you. Even if all you could do, because you were in a wheelchair, was to just gently roll yourself over, and after the church meeting, you help fold the books and just slide them over to the end of the table so that somebody could pick them up. And nobody even noticed that you ever did that. If you give yourself over to doing what you can do for the Lord, there is no limitations or boundary on how great your reward and your place of prominence will be in heaven. Oh, I feel like shouting, hallelujah! See, I hope you do too. Because, well, you know what that does? It sets me free. It sets me free. And the Lord said it, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I am free! You know? You might not think much of me. Ask me how much I care. Ask me how much I care. Well, if you don't think much of me because I've dishonored the Lord in my life and in my behavior, then I do care. Because now it has to do with Him. Let me guard myself. But if you don't think much of me for any other reason, you know what? I don't give a hoot. See? Doesn't mean anything to me. Because the issue of my life is to, well, make sure that He is pleased with who He made to be and my willingness to be that. That's lovely stuff. That's the next verse in 1 Corinthians 12 that I want you to look at. And that is verse 18. So not only has He made you and enabled you to be what you are, according to His will. Verse 18 now tells you that He has done that and Himself put you where He wants you in the body of Christ, and He has done it . How has He done it? Let's read the verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, there's the individuality, in the body. How did He put you there? Where did He put you there? And why did He put you there the way He put you there? Just as it, what? Pleased Him. Why is that so absolutely important? Well, I'll tell you. It has to do with one of the most important things in the universe. At least concerning me. And you know what that is? Well, it's this. That if God Himself is God, and God Himself has all power, He's omnipotent, has all knowledge, He's omniscient, He's everywhere, all riches come from Him. He determines the course of the whole universe. His plans and His purposes will never be frustrated. If God is God, Yes? And He is the most important person in the universe. And all things ultimately are going to go and be accomplished according to His will, according to His pleasure. Then the most meaningful creature experience, the most satisfying experience that you can ever experience in life and in your soul and spirit, is to know that you, by being you, please Him. Does that sound like a big thing? Well, just in case it doesn't, let's talk about it a little bit. You know Billy Graham? Oh, Billy Graham. How many people have wasted so much time wishing they were like Billy Graham? I'm just, you know. I know a lot of people get taken up wishing they were like me too, but But there's something Billy Graham and all of the millions he's led to Christ, if there are millions. There's something Billy Graham can never do. And you know what Billy Graham can never do? Big as he is, important as he is, that I can do? Can somebody tell me the one thing, or one thing at least, that Billy Graham can't do, that I can do? Well, he, Billy Graham, Billy, we'll call him Billy, can never please God by being me. Can't do it, you know. No matter how hard he tried, Billy Graham can never please God by being me. Oh, isn't that tremendous? You know who's the only one? The only one in the whole universe! The only one in the whole universe that can ever please God by being me? You know who's the only one in the whole universe that can do that? Who? Me. Oh! Oh! I can't get over it, you know. Oh, I wonder that I, a sinner, previously under the wrath of God, headed for destruction and ruin forever, what was this? Oh, I wonder, not only that my sins are forgiven, but that God has enabled me to be able to please Him. And He's given me that unique privilege. And nobody ever, ever, ever can please God by being me except me. Does it make you want to shout hallelujah? There is no greater creature privilege in life. There is no greater creature experience in life. You won't get it by drugs. You won't get it by drinking. You won't get it by going to the movies. There are some movies I enjoy. You won't get it by listening to music. Some music I enjoy. You won't get it by marrying the most gorgeous woman in the world. I did. They'll all bring you pleasure, you know. And they'll all bring you a measure of satisfaction, you know. But nothing, nothing can ever satisfy your whole being and bring you to the climax of all that you were ever created to be and meant to be, and the reason why God would allow His Son to pay such a price for you, than to please Him and know that you bring personal pleasure and satisfaction to the heart of God. Oh, what a lovely thing that is. That makes me ask you a question. How do you feel about yourself? It's an important issue, you know. I was taught when I was saved, came into the assemblies by very godly men. You should never think about yourself. It's not good to think about yourself. And I believe that. Until one day I was reading in Romans chapter 12. And then there it says, let not a man think more highly of himself than he ought to think. And there I realized, it is important how you think about yourself. And what you think about yourself. And to know who you are in Christ and what you're made to be. Because it has to do with properly functioning in the will of God and to enter into the experience of that highest experience possible and meaning and satisfaction possible in the human personality. And that is to know that you personally, by being who you are in Christ, you please Him. Oh, what a lovely thing that is. May God help you. May God help me. Now, I want to go to the Old Testament to give you an illustration of this. And then the second time around, we'll try and go into the other aspect of this thing, which is now, well, how do I be me? And how do I, still in a body with sin, and with the fallen nature still in it, how and what provisions has God made for me to overcome the beastly, fallen impulses of my being to be me in Christ? Very important, you know. But back in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings chapter 21, it's an amazing thing. You see, there was this fellow named Ahab. And this Ahab was a wicked king. Wasn't satisfied with being Ahab. Wasn't satisfied with having what he had. You know how the New Testament tells us. But you and I are to learn to be content with whatsoever things you have. For He has promised you, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never change my mind about you. I will never decide one morning, you know, I don't happen to like you that much after all. And you don't please me anymore by being you. No, He says. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, the same today, the same forever. Well, there was this fellow in Old Testament Israel, and this fellow lived in obscurity. And it just so happened that he had a part of ground. Must have been a beautiful garden. At least he had made it so, you know. Because in this life, when it comes to ground, if you leave it alone, well, it doesn't get beautiful, does it? Gardens and so on, in this life, if you leave them alone, well, they get awful ugly. Come up with all kinds of thorns and weeds, yes? But this fellow, very content to make his piece of ground beautiful. And this fellow Ahab one day, well, he saw that this fellow's ground was right next to his property. And, well, Ahab decided he wanted to buy it. So we'll read verse 21, chapter 21. Let's read it. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which in Jezreel next to the palace of Ahab king of Samaria. So Ahab spoke to Naboth saying, give me your vineyard that I may have it for a vegetable garden because it is near, next to my house, and for it I will give you a vineyard better than it. Or if it seems good to you, I will give you its worth in money. Let me ask you, are you willing to sell out whom God made you to be? to try and be somebody else. Naboth wasn't. He said, no, I don't want another vineyard. And here's why I don't want another vineyard. Because this is the one God gave me. How could I give it up for any other vineyard? I tell you, the only vineyard that will satisfy me and that I want and that I'm responsible to develop is the one God gave me. How about money? Judas sold his vineyard. He sold it for money, you know. Wanted to buy a big house. Wanted to be famous. Wanted to be rich. Will you sell out being who you are in the body of Christ for the sake of being a great scientist? Being a great father? Some people make the family more important than the local church. Even that can be a problem. You know what the Lord Jesus said? When it comes to following me and being whom I made you to be, oh, you'll never be able to do it unless you're first willing to what? Hate? Even family. Can't be more important, you know. Will you sell out for money? For success in life? For your own personal dreams and ambitions? There's a great danger in Christianity and in people that say that they're Christian. And that is that they want Christianity and Christ to be whom they think should be. And they want Christianity to be what they think it ought to be. And there comes this so-called, I guess, charismatic stuff. Well, if two or three of us ask anything in His name, and they get all excited, God will do it. Oh, really? God will do it. What I want? So then, whose will am I living for? His will? Or my will? And is that what Christianity is? Now I can pray, and as long as two or three agree concerning anything, God will do what we want. Oh, that's not Christianity, I tell you. That's a perversion of the whole thing. Yet it is a wonderful thing to know that if what we need and want and long for is according to His will, no matter what it is, if we ask for it, believing in His goodness, believing He hears, and He does, believing He'll answer, He'll give it to us. But if God doesn't give you what you ask for, you know what it means? It means He's got something better for you. And the Christian life ain't fretting and wanting to make this the way I want. The Christian life, and being a Christian, means first and foremost submitting to His will. Are you a Christian? Are you a believer? Anyway, here's Naboth. Yeah. Is that the first or the second one? You forgot the first one, brother. You're blaming, brother, you're blaming me. You didn't act according to who you should. No. Okay, 5 minutes. Oh. Thank you, brother. No, I did look at the clock, but that's okay, brother. No, brother, I'm just playing, you know that. You were wrong anyway. No, just kidding. Anyway, so notice what Ahab did, right? Ahab went, and what did he say? I'll get another vineyard. No, I don't want to be anybody else. I'll give you money for it. No. Oh, what a thing in life it is to be like Naboth. Oh, God, help me be like Naboth. Well, anyway, verse 3. But Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers. Isn't that amazing? There's a sin out there. There's a world out there. And that's what it wants. It wants you to turn over the inheritance that Christ purchased for you by His blood. He's out there. He's out there. But said Naboth, God forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers. There is nothing more important than to be you. Than to function and be whom He made you to be. It is your unique inheritance and meaning and place in the program of God that will endure and last for all eternity. Oh, may God move in your heart to be like Naboth and to not sell it, even though it cost you your life. That's what it cost Naboth, you know. It cost him his life. This is the meaning of life. For God has set the members, each one in the body, as it has pleased Him. May God help you in this. Oh, what a privilege to be me in Christ. What a lovely thing that is. Why callest thou me good? Because there is none good but God. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Then let him know it and let him experience the reality that you believe it by giving yourself over to be me. Because that's what pleases him. And notice it again. The context ultimately is in the body of Christ. And here in 1 Corinthians 12, in the local assembly. Yes, the home is important. Submit to your parents. Obey your parents in all things. This is pleasing to the Lord. But ultimately, life, home, family, work. Yes, God uses all those things and there's training there. But the purpose of life is to function and learn to function in the body of Christ. We won't be carpenters for all eternity. We won't have our biological families for all eternity. But you will be who you are in the body of Christ, that you already are. That's what you will be for all eternity to come. Oh, my friends, then see to it that the most important issue of life is to learn to be all that you are meant to be and will be for all eternity. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus, who purchased such an inheritance for the likes of me. Oh, what a God is our God. Our Father, help us and bless Thy word to us. We thank Thee for it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.